Samuel Snow's announcement that the Jewish Day of Atonement marked the end of the 2300-day prophecy electrified the camp meeting in Exeter, New Hampshire. This year, the day would fall on October 22nd. At last, we had a specific day on which to look for our Savior's appearing, and only 10 short weeks remained in which to spread the news.
Elder Bates, I've never seen such a sense of purpose in this large a group before. Have you?
This is unique in my experience. Only the Holy Spirit could make such a change, I'm sure. Oh, I cannot wait to return home and tell my neighbors the good news.
I'll gladly accompany you, if you have no objection.
Oh, not at all. I will be delighted to have your company. And your words will add weight to my witness.
James, I can hardly credit the change that has come over the campground since the announcement of the day of our Lord's return. Now there is only solemnity and goodwill.
I've noticed it, too. Remember how that tent of fanatics from Watertown held everyone's attention for a couple of days?
How could I forget? They disturbed the whole campground with their shouting and clapping.
Some of them shouted themselves hoarse, and others clapped till they blistered their hands.
Satan would love to bring reproach on the Advent cause through such behavior.
Yet, since Brother Snow's announcement, no one has paid any attention to them. Once the people's attention was focused on the coming of Jesus, the power of the fanatics was broken. It is marvelous how they quieted right down.
Satan is always ready to distract us from God's work and purpose. I'm glad he's been defeated once more. There's so little time. The work must go forward now as never before.
That is true, and I feel compelled to witness. I'm going directly to Poland, Maine, to talk to the congregation there. Camp meetings are scheduled at Litchfield and Orrington as well, and I plan to speak in both places. That is a good way to get the word to many people at one time.
The news from the Exeter camp meeting spread swiftly. Soon it reached our family in Portland, Maine.
Ellen, great news!
What is it, Lizzie?
Word has just come from the camp meeting in Exeter. Elder Snow has calculated the very day our Lord will come.
Can it be? How wonderful. When? Tell me.
October 22nd.
So soon. Oh, Lizzie, there's so much to do. We must tell everyone so they can be ready. I must get up. Oh.
Lie still, Ellen. You're very ill. You must not strain yourself now. But soon. Oh, soon, dear sister, you will be well for eternity.
That is true. When Jesus comes, I will be well and strong. Never again will I lie here helpless and weak. Oh, praise his holy name.
In the meantime, Joseph Bates had returned home to Fairhaven with Elder McCumber as his guest.
Joseph, my darling, you're home.
Prudy, it's good to be home again. Oh, and I have the most wonderful news.
Oh, Joseph, you're hugging me so tightly I can't breathe. And we have a guest.
Oh, Prudy, my dear, this is Elder McCumber.
How do you do?
Welcome.
He has come to help me tell you. But you're all dressed up. What is the occasion?
I was just on my way to meeting, but of course I won't go now.
No, we'll go to meeting with you. We have news for the people there. And this year, the 10th day of the 7th month falls on October 22nd. At last, we know the day, my friends, the very day on which Jesus will appear in the clouds of heaven with his angelic host to take us home.
Well, that is very interesting, Elder Bates. You have certainly given us something to think about.
Something to think about? Man, it is something to rejoice about. Can't you see it?
Well now, Elder McCumber, give us time to absorb this. You and Elder Bates have had a few days to get used to the idea. It's new to us. Just slow down a little.
How can we slow down? In just 10 weeks, according to Daniel 8:14, the world will end.
On Sunday, Elders Bates and McCumber attended church services in New Bedford. Elder Hutchinson from Canada was supposed to speak, but he became confused and began to stammer.
I'm sorry, I can't seem to... I must sit down. Elder McCumber, would you please...
Beloved, I... great things have happened. I wish I could tell you what I've seen and heard, but I cannot.
I can. The Lord is coming, my friends, and his coming is nearer than when we first believed. The time is short. We must prepare our hearts for the great day of the Lord.
Elder Bates spoke with such fluency that at the end of his discourse, Elder Hutchinson declared, "My preaching was like carpenter's chips." Arrangements were quickly made for other meetings to spread the glad tidings all around. In the meantime, young Elder White was also busy. He and a friend decided to visit as many towns as they could before the great day arrived.
James, what possessed you to set 3 speaking appointments for today?
The time is so short. We must redouble our efforts to reach the people.
But we have already pushed ourselves to the limits of our endurance. You're a strong man, James, but even you have a breaking point. We simply cannot do any more.
Have you heard of Joseph Wolfe?
Of course. He's a Jewish Christian missionary. He is preaching the Second Advent, too.
That's right. He has been preaching to Muslims in Asia Minor and Hindus in India. He has been imprisoned, set upon by robbers, and threatened with death by authorities who oppose his preaching. If he can keep going for years, we can endure for a few more weeks.
The believers in Portland, Maine, also felt the shortness of the time. Worldly business was no longer important to them. Their time was spent in seeking the Lord and in encouraging one another.
Ellen, I just don't know. We had such hopes that Jesus would come in the spring, but he didn't. People were so cruel.
Don't you want to be ready to meet Jesus when he comes?
Of course, but what if he doesn't come? I just couldn't face the ridicule again.
Lizzie, dear, Jesus is with you right now. Let's pray and ask him to give you courage.
Oh, yes. Yes, please, Ellen.
Solemnly, groups gathered in orchards and groves to pray, feeling more fully in God's presence when surrounded by his natural world. Often they would remain the entire day praying with and for one another, confessing their shortcomings and forgiving each other for offenses.
Why, it's mid-afternoon, and I never even thought to bring food with us.
I'm not hungry. Are you, Ellen?
No, Lizzie. I feel no need for food right now. The joys of salvation are more necessary than food or drink.
I think that's how we all feel. Making sure of our acceptance with the Lord consumes all our thoughts. Why, Brother Coates, I thought you were at work today.
Not anymore, Brother Harmon. I cannot waste my time making money when my Lord is coming so soon. I must make sure I'm ready to meet him. That is more than all the wealth in the world.
Amen. Come, sit with my family.
Oh, thank you. Why, hello, Sister Ellen. I'm glad you were well enough to come.
I could not stay away, Brother Coates.
I could almost wish you had, Ellen. Climbing up here is a strain on your heart.
It is all right, Mother. Do you remember those children in Sweden we heard about?
The ones who've been preaching for the last couple of years? Yes.
Oh, I've heard of them, too. Adult preachers must be licensed, and the state church will not license ministers who believe in the Advent.
That's right. And suddenly, children began to preach, calling for repentance in preparation for the coming of Christ. Some of them preached in a trance-like state. They lay on the floor without moving or seeming to breathe. All the while they spoke the precious words.
There was one little girl I remember hearing about. She was only 6 years old. She would play with the dolls on the floor as the people gathered. Then she would stand up and preach for an hour or so, and then go back to playing with the toys.
The children did not escape trials either. One boy was beaten terribly while his sister was forced to look on.
How terrible!
But he did not stop preaching, did he? He couldn't, because the Spirit of God compelled him. No more can I stay home and ignore the nearness of our Lord's advent.